Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Employment Matters podcast, brought to you by the Employment Law Alliance, the largest network of labor and employment lawyers from the best law firms around the globe. I'm your host, Cato Arts, partner at Lydian in Belgium. On the program, we span the globe and receive updates on critical issues from ELA members in each region. On today's episode, we'll be discussing immigration changes in Scotland. Joining us on the program are Elaine McElroy, partner at Brodies LLP, and Gregor Craig Murphy, senior solicitor at Brodies LLP. Elaine and Gregor, welcome. We are delighted to have you on our program. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you, and thanks for having us here today.
I'm also really good. I'm excited for this.
Me too. So let's dive into it. Elaine, I understand that the UK had some very significant immigration changes coming into force in April to one of the main visa routes in UK used by employers to bring staff to work in the UK. Can you please tell me a bit more about those changes and what's the aim behind them?
Yes, of course. So you're right, these are very significant changes about to come into force in just a couple of weeks now on the 4th of April. And they're the biggest changes that we've had in the UK to the immigration rules, really since the end of the Brexit transition period, when we had a big overhaul of the immigration system in the UK. And at that time, those changes were really to make it much easier for employers to sponsor people to come to work in the UK through our employer sponsorship system, which we call the Skilled Worker Visa. And since Brexit, there's been a really big increase in the numbers of people coming to the UK, both under our work sort of routes and also under student and family routes, etc. And in about December last year, the UK government decided to respond to the big increase in net migration to the UK by announcing some changes to the immigration rules, which has led to these changes that are about to come in April. And the numbers in terms of net migration that they published in about 12-month period to June 2023 was that they were up at about 672,000. So that was quite a big increase since the period before, apart from there was some periods during COVID where the numbers dipped a bit, but that was a big jump up. And what these policy changes are intended to do is to reduce net migration by around 300,000. So you can see that's a really significant reduction that they're looking for through reducing work visas, but also student visas and certain other types of changes. But we're going to talk today about the work aspects. And in terms of how these changes impact UK employers, there'll be a significant increase to the minimum salary levels that apply to the skilled worker routes. That's really what we're going to focus on today. The skilled worker route only applies to certain skill thresholds, so medium and highly skilled jobs, and those with certain minimum salary levels. And the minimum salary level across the board is changing from, it was just over £26,000 per year, and it's going up to £38,700. So there's a big jump up in salary, which, and we can come on to talk about that a little bit more and some of the exceptions to that, etc. But that will be for roles where people want to sponsor on or after the 4th of April.
Okay, very interesting. So all in all, I would say the rules are making things more difficult.
More difficult for employers, sure. Yeah,
of course. Exactly. Okay, so Gregor, do these changes impact employees already working in the UK and their these sorts of visas, or are they only relevant to new visa applicants?
So there will be a bit of an impact on both sets, but there will be some special protective measures which are going to be put in place for those who are already in the UK, either holding a skilled worker visa or who are in the route already, which would include those who are sponsored as a skilled worker before the changes come into force on the 4th of April. But the key is these sort of special protections will only apply to those who are already in the route. What it means is that they won't be subject to the same sort of significant jump in the general salary threshold, which is going from the 26,200 up to the 38,700. Instead, it's going to be more of an inflationary-based increase, so it'll be going up to 29,000. So one of the kind of key takeaways is that many employers who are perhaps planning to sponsor people on temporary visas, so for example, on the graduate route, they might want to think about sponsoring these individuals before these changes come into effect, so on or before the 3rd of April, if they want to take advantage of those special protections. But I suppose the takeaway is it's going to create two systems, these new rules. So there'll be one set of rules for those who are sponsored before the changes come into force, and then a new set of rules for everyone who's sponsored on or after the 4th of April. And two sets of rules is going to mean as much more to learn for all of the employers, both for sponsors and for individual visa holders. There'll be more complexity and some difficulties there. Different salary thresholds that will have to be borne in mind and considered by both employer and employee. But for those who already have the visa or who are sponsored before the new rules come in, it's the updated version of the old rules with those inflationary adjusted figures which will apply. And the new rules, it will be for those who are sponsored on or after the 4th of April.
Okay, interesting. So employers in the UK have a few more days to call you both and make it happen before the 4th of April. Okay, Elaine. So can you tell me a bit more about what the changes are and what sort of jobs are most likely to be impacted by them?
Sure. So the changes will largely impact those lower paid jobs that could qualify under, I guess, the current rules, but won't qualify any longer once those changes are in force. And before these changes, the UK has had a really open immigration system in terms of allowing employers to sponsor jobs. It's been pretty easy in that it was medium and highly skilled jobs, and the salary thresholds weren't that high. So lots and lots of jobs were eligible for sponsorship under the sort of rules that we've got. In terms of what jobs are most likely to be impacted, I think certain sectors are going to be impacted more than others. So if you think about hospitality and manufacturing and food and drink and agriculture, etc., it's those sort of lower paid jobs that are likely to be impacted the most.
Okay. And Gregor, Elaine mentioned that there are some special cases for recent graduates in those jobs which are in short supply. Can you tell me more about those special cases, please?
Yes, of course. So there are some special cases. Some of them we'll be familiar with because they've been in place under the current set of rules, and some of them will be slightly revised versions of those protections we've seen. There are four groups that I thought it would be worth flagging. So first, in terms of exceptions, there's some important exceptions for health and care visa holders, which includes some care workers and those sort of working in NHS and NHS-related fields who meet the conditions under the health and care sector of the skilled worker visa. And there are also some exceptions from this increased salary threshold for those who are in education and health sectors on national pay scales. A second sort of group is the group of people who will benefit from some special salary discounts. The key collective term for one of these groups is new entrants. So some of the key people included as a new entrant here are those who are under 26 on the date that they apply, or who are recent graduates. So I've recently had a student visa or recently on a graduate visa. It's this sort of set of people who are often at the start of their career or perhaps at the start of a new career, and so would typically earn less. The key benefit of being a new entrant is the salary discounts which are available. So the general minimum salary threshold and going rates are significantly discounted. So there are slightly lower thresholds that need to be met rather than the standard minimum. However, because the overall general minimum salary has gone up, there'll be quite a big jump in what new entrants still have to be paid and the threshold they have to reach. It's still about a 50% increase from just over £20,000 to almost £30,000 under the new rules. So a third sort of special group of individuals are those who are on the shortage occupation list. So this is a list of jobs where it's considered there's a shortage of skills in that particular sector in the UK. So if someone's job is on that list, there are currently discounts which apply to the general minimum salary threshold and also to the going rate for that particular job code. So that's a sort of salary specific minimum that has to be paid. The shortage occupation list is going to be renamed as part of the changes and replaced by an immigration salary list. There will still be a discount that attaches to this here. If the job's on that list, there will be a lower general salary threshold. However, there will no longer be a discount which applies to the occupation-specific threshold or the going rate for that job. So it does make it slightly harder to satisfy these requirements. And in addition, the number of jobs that are going to be on the shortage occupation list, which will soon be the immigration salary list, is going to be far fewer in comparison to before. And the Migration Advisory Committee is going to be reviewing the jobs that are on that list later this year. So our fourth and final group that's worth flagging is there are some discounts available for people with PhDs and for PhDs in certain STEM subjects in some cases.
Okay, wow. It really seems as though these changes are huge that are coming up. Elaine, other than rushing to send you both an email, are there any recommendations you can make for employers about what they should do before these changes come into effect on the 4th of April?
As you said a few minutes ago, I guess employers have got this short window of time to act before the 4th of April if they want to. The new rules were announced by the UK government in around December, but although they were sort of announced in headline terms at that point, they only really published the detail of the rules last week, actually. So employers have got quite a short period of time to get their heads around them, understand them, and then to review their current workforce, basically to see if there are any staff on temporary visas that they need to sponsor before the rule changes, if they want to keep them in the long term. Otherwise, they might have a retention problem and not be able to sponsor them after that date. So checking if you've got anyone on temporary visas, assessing if they currently are eligible and if they won't be afterwards, and then jumping in and trying to act and sponsor those people before the rule changes come in as a sort of critical piece or recommendation for people. We've had lots of clients, I guess, coming to us over the past few weeks saying we've got people on graduate visas or student visas, all of which are sort of temporary visas, and thinking about doing that. So that's the main recommendation. The other one would be to upskill your staff. So anyone kind of using the immigration system, lots of HR people do it sort of in-house, getting familiar with the rules so that they know what's changing, et cetera, and so that they know how to use the new system. Because as Gregor said, it is going to be quite complex. You've got the old system and the new system, all different salary discounts for different types of people. Some people find it hard enough already under the current system to sort of get their heads around all these different rules. But now with these two different sets and everything changing, I would say that sort of upskilling of your HR team who use the immigration system is another sensible recommendation.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. It sounds like a lawyer's paradise, these significant changes in the law. Since the rules are becoming much stricter, Gregor, for those jobs that won't qualify for sponsorship any longer, are there other visa routes that they could use instead?
Yes, so there are a number of different options available in the UK. For jobs that maybe won't qualify anymore, a lot of it can come down to an individual's personal circumstances and the job that they plan to do. So there are lots of visa routes, not just the skilled worker route, but the options for those lower paid jobs are slightly more limited. There are some short-term and temporary visas. Some are based on the nationality of the individual, and there can be specific options available for them, such as the Youth Mobility Scheme. There are also certain sectors which are catered for. So, for example, in agriculture and more sort of seasonal working, there are specific visa routes for those workers, or also separate routes for creative workers. There may also be some others that individuals can look into kind of based on their own circumstances. So there's the ancestry route, which is based on the individual's nationality and if one of their grandparents was born in the UK, in the Channel Islands or the Isle of Man. There's also some relationship-based visas as well. So, for example, if someone had a partner who was settled in the UK already or who might be relocating to the UK for work with their own work visa, there's the possibility they could be a dependent partner on that visa and travel with them to the UK. But with the skilled worker route being tightened up, there might be a need to be exploring these other options, and individuals might want to take advice on this to see what they can have available to them.
Okay. And you both mentioned already that there are specific rules for certain sectors. I was wondering, Elaine, are there specific sectors that are impacted more than others by these changes?
Yeah, well, because the key changes are kind of salary based, I would expect those higher paid jobs, so for example, in finance and tech, etc., to be less impacted. And actually, geography comes into a little bit as well, because a lot of businesses in London and the Southeast probably pay higher rates of pay, so that there's less likely to be an impact by the closing of the doors to those sort of lower paid jobs. So the ones that I think will be most impacted are where the employers or the sector struggles to recruit. And there's lots of examples of that in the UK at the moment where there are skill shortages, but where the pay levels just aren't that high. And luckily, the government has made an exception for care workers. That's an example of lots of skill shortage, but low paid job. They've made them kind of exempt from the rules. And there's certain other public sector jobs that are, there's specific exemptions for people in education on certain public sector sort of pay scales, etc. So yes, some sectors that are lower paid but where there still are skill shortages are going to struggle the most, I think.
Okay, thank you. And so Gregor, the new rules, as we mentioned already, sound quite complex for employers to understand. Is that right? And if so, what can employers do to better understand the changes?
I think that's very fair to say. It is quite complex, and especially for employers. As Elaine's mentioned, many of these details have been received relatively short notice compared to the impact that they're going to have. So there's not much time for employers and sponsors to get their heads around the new rules. Lawyers as well, we've not had too much time to go through these rules. And it's already a relatively complex system, especially for those employers who are only using it occasionally to sponsor the odd member of staff here and there as their needs demand. There's going to be these two sets of rules, the old set, the new rules, the new salary thresholds, and the old salary thresholds. It's a lot to take in. And it's a mix of, there are the big changes, so the big salary increases, as we've mentioned, but there's also small, sort of almost administrative changes as well. So sort of the list of the SOC codes in the UK will be changing. So sponsors will need to make sure that they've got all the up-to-date information. And it is important that they do get it correct. So in terms of how best to understand them, there is a lot of good information online. There are really helpful documents on the gov.uk website. I appreciate there's a lot on there. They are quite long, so it can take some time to digest, but they are generally very helpful. There's also some more easily digestible options, so listening to podcasts such as this one, and as well as reading law firm blogs on the topics or articles that are published, or attending webinars on these topics. If a business was unsure, it can be worth taking advice just to make sure that they get it correct, especially kind of as Elaine has been mentioning, if you do need to sponsor someone before these rule changes come into effect, you want to make sure you get it right if there's a risk they won't be eligible after the changes happen. It may even be worth arranging sort of bulk training with immigration advisors who can cover the rules and the sort of special concessions that apply specifically tailored to their workforce and the jobs that they're going to be recruiting.
That all makes sense. And yes, definitely podcasts. That's what I wanted to mention. You definitely, both of you, showed it's a complex matter, but that you are able to shed some light on it and clarify for employers. So thank you for that. Elaine, as we close off, are there any tips that you could give to employers?
So I suppose my main tip would be, don't delay in thinking about your current workforce. So if there's people that you can sponsor now that you won't be able to later, do that immediately, because some of the steps you need to take to sponsor people take a bit of time. I would say do that right away. And then for the longer term, it's about maybe looking at how these rules are going to impact your recruitment plans. Is it going to be harder to get people to fill the jobs than it was previously? Because some sectors will rely heavily on migrant workers. If you're not going to be able to do that, then planning ahead for how those gaps are going to be filled in the future.
Okay, thank you so much. That is all the time we have today. Elaine and Gregor, this has been a very interesting discussion. Thank you for your time. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us here.
Thank you so much for having us.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. If you would like to connect with Elaine or Gregor, please click on their bios in the description of this podcast. We also encourage you to reach out to any of our lawyers around the world by selecting Find a Lawyer on the ELA website at ela.law. In addition, search the ELA website where you can sign up to receive invitations to our upcoming webinars, download white papers and on-demand content from our online library, or access the ELA's exclusive Global Employer Handbook. You've been listening to Employment Matters, a podcast brought to you by the Employment Law Alliance, the world's largest network of labor and employment lawyers from the best law firms around the globe. I'm Kato Arts. Thanks for listening.